this particular day, we were at Biggin Hill. I've got an article down there that I had to write for the Shoreham Museum, and we saw him off in 42, this early day, very cold. And when we went out to fetch him back, he used to look out for him, the boys, you could hear him coming in, one would come in one wheel down, and the other one would say, W, William, that's in, B for Bertie, you know, C for Charlie's in, and we're looking to tuck with a very tall man called Sergeant Middleton, lovely man. He got killed 2 or 3 weeks after, not very long. I did meet somebody that knew him, and since, came to New Eltham. And Sergeant Middleton said to me and this Ralph Frew, who was my fitter, he's up there, there he is, there, right in the middle, the little tiny one in the middle, him and I. And Ralph said, you know, what happened to the CEO? He said, well, he won't be coming back, because he went down under the clouds with smoke coming out and nobody saw him bail out. But what they didn't know was, I don't know if you read the book, have you? Fly for Your Life?
Yeah.
You have. Well, up there, I've got the pictures up there, because he had on the side of his kite, or plane, if you like, he had on the side of his plane, RST, Robert Stanford Tuck. Jimmy Rankin over there had JJR on his Canadian squad. And, well, the reason that was, wing commanders, I think, they had what they call a roving commission, and they could go where they liked, you know. Do you fancy it? They used to call it a rhubarb. Do you fancy a rhubarb? Yeah, come on. And they jump in, go over there, give them a shoot up on the coast, knock those guns out, or give them a talking to, and then come back. Well, this particular day, he said, are you looking for the CO? You needn't. He won't be coming back. Not today. Everybody thought he bought it. But what he did do, he pranged outside Boulogne. They was going over to shoot up a distillery, which was making bombs or ammunition, but it was a distillery actually. They went over there to shoot that up. When he came down, David, when he came down, he knew it was his lot. He thought it was his lot. So he braced himself, emptied his guns onto their gun sight, killed a couple of Germans, and there's something in the book. And then he hit the ground, and then his forehead hit the gun sight, and he smashed his forehead open, and the Germans come over the gun, so now he's bracing himself now for the bullet that never came. They just said, good shot, Englander. Well, he always said after that, he died in 19... I think he died at 70 anyway, down at Sandwich in Kent. I went down to sort out his grave, but no, and the grave without a grave is not one now. And his ashes are there, but there's no memorial, no lasting memorial. And he being that he was out, you know, knocked out, they took him in and they put him in Stalag with his friend, who was Roger
Bushell.
Huh? Roger Bushell. We never got over him getting killed.
Yeah.
And then he was one of the 50 with a great escape. Yeah. Hitler said shoot him. So they shot Bushell, let him get out for a pee in the forest and a cigarette, and they shot him. They did actually get the man that did that, and they hung him after Nuremberg. He was hung. And Tuck never got over that, losing Bushell, because Bushell was the leader.
Mm.
He took the part that one of the boys took in the film, you know, that he was the leader of the Great Escape. But Tuck was a troublemaker. Well, Tuck was transferred from that Stalag to another one, and he wasn't in the 100 that escaped, and they've caught 50 and shot 50 or something like that. Not very good at figures. However, I shot most of them. And Tuck escaped that fracas there, but of course he escaped from the one that they sent him in, and he joined up with the Russians, and the Russians put him through France onto a boat, and he come over, and he still shot away. See, well, I think Tuck was wonderful was he was shot down in 1942, January or February the 23rd, I've got it over there. Well, he got 28 then. They found one since they've credited him with, they said 29. He got 29. When people like Mallon went right through the thick of it and they got 35 and 36, Johnny Johnson, they all got their 30s. That man got 29 and God blimey, he's banged up for half the war. The war wasn't over till 45. I think he got back after a year or two. He still flew, but I wasn't with him then. But a great guy he was. You know, everybody respected Tuck, and he had an old dog called Shuffles, and that used to follow him around everywhere. Always had a cigarette holder, bit of a lad he was. He, you know, he fought well and he lived well. He was that type of, and he gave confidence to everybody. But he didn't come back that day. So, as I said in the article, the squadron was very depressed. Like losing a wheel on the motorway, and the next day, the flight sergeants, who in those days had buddy cars now, you know, the Sibian, they only had bikes in those days, the flight sergeant, he comes flying down, whatever his name was, I forget, and says, "Come on, boys, down in the bottom hangar." And they all said, "Well, we're doing, you know, leave that. Leave what you're doing, the CO wants you down there." So everybody in the squadron went down to the bottom hangar. And he got killed after, I think it was Barlow. He said, "Righto, lads," he said, "I've got a communique here from the German High Command. Wing Commander Stamp Tuck is a prisoner of war in German hands." Oh, you ought to have heard it. Talk about goal at Wembley. Oh, and everybody went back to work. We thought he was coming back that day, because he didn't. Marvellous, really. Yeah. A lovely man.